News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a warm welcome to another episode of Northeast Diary, your window into the vibrant cultures, inspiring stories and unfolding events across the eight jewels of India's Northeast. I'm Vinita Thakur, and in today's episode, we bring you an exclusive interview with Dr. Sandeep Deshmukh, Senior Scientist and Head of ICAR KVK, VOKA, and Nodal Officer, Press and Media Release, VKSA, Nagaland State, on the ongoing Viksit Krishi Sankalp Abhiyan with a special focus on Nagaland. We'll also feature a radio talk on Arunachal Pradesh, the land of the rising sun. But first, let's talk about our planet and our future. Just 2 days ago, we celebrated World Bicycle Day, honoring one of the most sustainable, healthy and accessible modes of transportation. And today, we observe World Environment Day 2025 with the powerful and urgent theme, Ending Plastic Pollution Globally. Now, you might be wondering, what do bicycles have to do with plastic pollution? Well, more than you might think, choosing a bicycle over a car means fewer fossil fuels burned, less plastic use and waste, and a clear step toward cleaner air and greener cities. Riding a bicycle isn't just good for your health, it's a quiet revolution on wheels against pollution. Small lifestyle changes like swapping car rides for bike rides and cutting down on single-use plastics can create a powerful ripple effect for our planet. Let's ride together toward a cleaner, plastic-free future.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where
if the monotony of a gym routine bores you, or you hate being cooped up indoors, cycling is the best exercise for you. You can connect to nature and let go of some stress while getting fitter in the process. And yes, cycling to places instead of driving does wonders for the environment. On June 3, 2018, the first official World Bicycle Day was celebrated. It was approved by the General Assembly as an official United Nations Day of awareness about the multiple societal benefits of using the bicycle for transport and leisure. World Bicycle Day came to be thanks to Professor Leszek Sibilski, who embarked on an academic project in 2015 to explore the role of bicycles in development. On April 12, 2018, a coalition of 57 countries led by Turkmenistan sponsored his proposal and made it happen. After the announcement was made, European Cyclists Federation Secretary General Bernhard Ensink stated, "Cycling is a source for social, economic and environmental benefits and it is bringing people together. This UN declaration is an acknowledgement of the contribution of cycling to the Sustainable Development Goals." World Bicycle Day also aims to advance it as a means of strengthening physical education, promoting tolerance, mutual understanding and respect, and facilitating social inclusion and a culture of peace. The logo of World Bicycle Day was designed by Isaac Feld. It depicts bicyclists riding around the globe. The main message of the logo is to show that the bicycle belongs to and serves all of humanity.
Riding a bicycle helps beat air pollution and is a great way to get some exercise and see the beautiful world around you. Get together with your friends and organize a bike ride for World Environment Day. World Environment Day is celebrated on the 5th of June every year. It is the biggest annual event for encouraging worldwide awareness and action to protect our environment.
Ever since its conception in 1974, World Environment Day has had a special theme relating to the pressing environmental concern at the time. The theme for this year is Beat Plastic Pollution. Plastic, which is rampantly polluting our water bodies, harming marine life and posing a threat to human health, has been one of the major concerns of environmental bodies this year. plastic can persist in the environment for nearly 1,000 years before it fully disintegrates. Through this day, UN is making an effort to urge governments, industries, communities and people to unite in the fight against plastic and explore alternatives that are sustainable. A United Nations report on World Environment Day said that governments should consider banning or taxing single-use bags or food containers to stem a tide of pollution, and underlined that less than a tenth of all the plastic ever made has been recycled. The study, billed as the most comprehensive review of government action to curb single-use plastics, said up to 5 trillion plastic bags were used worldwide each year.
Tick 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 tick, kasam ye khaye re. Tick 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 tick, plastic tick na paaye re.
Agar sun lo jo sambhle na hum, to bam ye phat jayega. Ki behti si nadiya ka ye pani ruk jayega.
Ke kar do rehm dharti ka ye dam bhi khut jayega. کہ قدرت کی ہاں نس نس میں زہر یہ بس جائے گا
پلاسٹک کے ہم سب محتاج ہیں کیسا یہ سماج ہے
کل نہ ہو ہاتھوں میں آج ہے
موقع یہ اب نہ گوائے رے
ٹک 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 قسم یہ کھائے رے
Up next in our special interview, Dr. Sandeep Deshmukh, Senior Scientist and Head, ICAR KVK Woka and Nodal Officer, VKSA Nagaland State, speaks with Johanna Murray about the ongoing Viksit Krishi Sankalp Abhiyan in Nagaland.
Hello listeners, welcome to our show. I'm your host Johanna Murray, and today we will be talking about the campaign of the Viksit Krishi Sankalp Abhiyan, a campaign that is reaching out to the farmers across the country and including here in Nagaland. So today we have with us a very special guest. He is Dr. Sandeep Deshmukh. He is a senior scientist and also the head of KVK ICAR Woka Nagaland, and also currently he is the Nodal Officer for Press and Media at the VKSA. So thank you so much for being here with us, sir. We are delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you, madam.
So to begin with our program, sir, can you kindly tell us about the objectives of the campaign?
Namaste everyone. Our Honorable Prime Minister Narendra Modi has given a vision of Viksit Bharat, developed nation by 2047. In alignment with that vision, Honorable Union Minister for Agriculture and Farmer Welfare, Sri Turakshan Chaman sir, has launched this Viksit Sankalp Abhiyan. The Abhiyan is going from the 29th May to 12th June, and there are 2,000 teams of the scientists has been formed across the country. They will cover 700 plus districts across the state, across the country, and every team, every day will cover 3 villages. Total target of this campaign is to reach 1.5 crore of the farmers in the country. The main objective of this campaign is to enhance the interaction between the scientists, the government officials and farmers, and also collect the valuable feedback for the future research and policies.
But then now, sir, can you bring us the focus on Nagaland? So how is the campaign being rolled out here, and what kind of activities and trainings are being taken place, and who are the implementing agencies?
In case of Nagaland, under the chairmanship of Honorable Advisor Agriculture, we have launched this campaign. There are 36 teams formed by a farmer to cover every day 110 villages. And ICAR also identified 18 appropriate technologies that are very applicable for the Nagaland situations for the farming community. These teams are daily visiting 3 villages. And the main implementing agency for this campaign in Nagaland is the ICAR Atari Umem Zone 7, ICAR Nagaland Center, ICAR NRC Mithun, CU Jalaki, the Nagaland University School of Agricultural Sciences, Medicine, all nine departments of the Nagaland state, and even most important thing is that 11 KVKs across the state, and also district administration also supporting some logistic things and administrative support for success of this campaign across the state.
Before we dwell more into this conversation, we will hear from my advisor of agriculture, Mahathir Yantan.
We have formed altogether 39 teams, which will spread across the entire state, covering all the 16 districts, now 17. So accordingly, 39 teams have been formed. They are now on the move. Despite the bad weather, our team members are all determined to carry out the pre-Kharif campaign effectively. And I'm sure that through this campaign, there will be change in the perception of the farmers, and there will be bumper harvest for Kharif season.
That was indeed truly a very insightful perspective straight from the state government. So, Dr. Deshmukh, like, could you enlighten us on how many villages and farmers are taking part in the campaign and how many has been covered so far in Nagaland?
As far as Nagaland, our target is 108 villages daily, and our target for throughout the campaign is 1,200 plus villages, and to reach maximum possible near about 2 lakh farmers. First of 4 days of the launching of this campaign, we have covered 428 villages and nearly 40,000 of the farmers.
I believe that every big initiative comes with a huge responsibility and challenge. So what are the challenges the team is currently facing?
As regards to challenges, as we knew that our northeast is a hill area, and ongoing monsoon that some created some challenges like road connectivity and landsliding, and that may restrict the mobility of the teams. And second challenge is the coverage of the large number of population, because our some villages are very small, maybe 30-40 hundreds, population rate is low. But after that, we are going to reaching to unreached farmers in the remotest of the remote village. That is our target, and we will try to best at our possible by using available all resources to cover the large number of villages as well as large number of the population segment, that is farmers.
Speaking of farmers, so like, how are they responding to this campaign?
Farmers are voluntarily participating in the campaign. All the chairman of the village council, they are also mobilizing farmers in a very positive way. All farmers, farm women, rural youth, SHGs and FPO, they are very participating proactively in the campaign.
Are they finding it useful, this training?
Yeah, actually this is campaign. Main target of campaign is to create awareness regarding improved agricultural technologies or different ongoing scheme. And they are also collecting, identifying the different problems faced by the farmers that are very useful for the future research as well as forming different policies. I mean, need-based and demand-driven policies and research for the future.
Before we move ahead with our discussion, we will hear from our beneficiary, farmers, that is the heart of the campaign. So let's hear it.
My name is Pivito from Daniel Village, Dansaripar, Dimapur. Today, as part of the Vikshit Krishi Sankalp Abhiyan, several departments, including the Soil Department, Agriculture, Animal Husbandry and Veterinary, and KVK, visited our village and provided us with valuable training. This program was very beneficial, and I'm truly happy with the information and knowledge that was shared with us. My name is Kijon, and I am a beneficiary of the PM Kisan scheme. I am delighted to have attended the Vikshit Krishi Sankalp Abhiyan. I have gained a lot of useful information through this program, and it has been a truly enriching experience. I am Panyan Pom from Longleng. I had been eagerly looking forward to the Vikshit Krishi Sankalp Abhiyan, and today I finally had the opportunity to attend it. Led by KVK Longleng, 7 departments visited our village and trained us on modern farming techniques and various central schemes. I am very happy, and on behalf of all the farmers and my village, I sincerely thank the government and the departments for initiating such a valuable program.
That was truly inspiring. It is always heartwarming to hear from our beneficiary. It shows how they are benefiting, and the voice clearly states that they are really enthusiastic and they are benefiting from the campaign as well. So now, moving on, sir, for our farmers tuning into the program, Dr. Deshmukh, like, do you have any government schemes you can tell that will benefit our farmers?
What are the government schemes? Ongoing central government as well as state government schemes launched for the farmers. All land department offices, they are creating awareness, they are communicating farmers the requirement of the schemes and how will they be apply for getting maximum benefit. So all state department offices, they are proactively creating awareness among the farmers regarding all sector schemes.
Looking ahead, what potential do you see for Nagaland in the field of agri and allied sector, and how can our farmers use modern technology with their traditional practices to improve their production?
Actually, we know that Nagaland has a very rich biodiversity, and suppose we are going to blend the improved agriculture knowledge with our indigenous knowledge system, that will be very useful for enhancing production and productivity. Most important thing is the we have to maintain the sustainability of your ecosystem, and again we want to achieve the food and nutrition security and making the Nagaland agrarian allied sector as a self-reliant.
Finally, sir, before we wrap up, any message you would like to share to our farmers and our listeners?
Yes, ma'am. Actually, the success of any campaign is totally depend on the voluntary participation from the community. From here, through your channel, I am appealing all farming communities and all chairman of village council chairmen for mobilization and their greater participation in the campaign, because our goal is to make Vikasit Bharat through Vikasit Krushi, means develop the nation through progressive agriculture. Again, we want to contribute significantly in our sustainable development goal. We have to achieve our dream of $5 trillion economy.
That was truly an insightful conversation. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir. And we hope this campaign will be a huge success for the farmers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So folks, you just heard a thought-provoking conversation with Dr. Sandeep Deshmukh, conducted by Johanna Murray, correspondent at Akashvani Kohima. Popularly known as the Land of the Dawn Lit Mountains, Arunachal Pradesh is the first Indian soil to greet the rising sun. Located in the northeastern tip of India and bordered by Tibet, Bhutan and Myanmar, this breathtaking state is home to a dazzling array of flora and fauna that continues to captivate travelers. More than 500 rare species of orchids bloom in the dense forests of Arunachal Pradesh. Its misty hills, sparkling rivers and gurgling waterfalls enhance the natural charm of this extraordinary land. Arunachal Pradesh finds mention in ancient texts such as the Kalika Puran and the great Hindu epic Mahabharat. It is believed to be the Prabhu Mountains of the Purans. According to Hindu mythology, this is the land where sage Parshuram washed away his sins, sage Vyas meditated, King Bhishmaka ruled and Lord Krishna married Rukmini. Once ruled by powerful dynasties, Arunachal Pradesh is dotted with historical monuments and archaeological remains that reflects its rich cultural heritage. Our special correspondent Monalisa Patsani takes you on a vicarious tour of Arunachal Pradesh, exploring its iconic tourist destinations.
Arunachal Pradesh, the land of the rising sun. Arunachal, known as the land of the rising sun, adorns the northeastern region of India like a crown. With a home to picturesque mountains, rivers, unexplored passes, tranquil lakes and famous monasteries, it is spread in an area of 83,743 square kilometers. Encompassing extensive geographical diversity with a variety of rare wildlife, flora and fauna, Arunachal Pradesh is now gaining acclaim worldwide as one of the richest biodiversity and heritage hotspot. With 26 major tribes and more than 100 sub-tribes, it showcases the rich, colorful ethnic tribal cultures of the state, arousing curiosity in the minds of explorers, adventurers, nature lovers, and enthusiasts with a quest for demystifying the unknown facets of nature. There are many places of tourist interest in the state. Itanagar, the capital of Arunachal, which is dotted with archaeological sites of great historical value, has many such places worth visiting. Ita Fort, the fort of bricks from which the state capital derives its name, is situated in the heart of the capital complex. It is estimated that the fort could be built between 1350 and 1450 AD during the periods of Muslim invasion in Assam from the west and Ahom inroads from the east. It is also believed that Ramachandra, the king of Mayapur, built the fort. Gekarsini, or popularly known as Ganga Lake, is one of the chief tourist spots in the city. A beautiful natural lake surrounded by landmass of hard rock, it enthralls visitors with its peaceful environment, imposing surroundings of lush green mountains and crystal clear water. If one wants to know about the rich tribal culture of the state, then one must visit the State Jawaharlal Nehru Museum. The museum has a rich collection of textiles, weaponry, household articles and handicrafts that reflect the tribal culture and heritage of Arunachal Pradesh. Another major attraction in the city is the Siddharth Gompa, which stands on a small hill regularly visited by people. Tawang is one of the most frequently visited places in Arunachal Pradesh. It is a famous tourist destination because of a 17th century old monument, Tawang Monastery, built in 1860-61. Located at a distance of 180 km from Bomdila, this monastery stands 10,000 feet above sea level and is situated atop a hill. An epicenter of spiritual acclaim, Tawang Monastery is the country's largest monastery and Asia's second largest, with the capacity of housing 700 monks at a time. The highlight of this monastery are the imposing three-storied assembly hall and the 28-feet-high golden statue of Lord Buddha. There is also a big library which has an impressive collection of ancient books and manuscripts. The famous Buddhist gold-inscribed scriptures Kangyur and Tangyur are preserved here. While rising steeply to reach Tawang, one has to pass through the Sela Pass, which is covered with snow for the most of the year. Jung Waterfall is another big tourist attraction. There are more than 100 beautiful natural lakes in Tawang, like the Sangyetsar Lake, which is known for its scenic surroundings and picturesque landscape. There are 7 wildlife sanctuaries and 4 national parks. The most prominent among them is the Namdapha National Park, which lies in the international border between India and Myanmar within Changlang District. This park is the 15th tiger reserve of the country that is spread over an area of 1,985 square kilometers. It is the only national park in the country where 4 of the felines, tiger, the leopard, the snow leopard and clouded leopard, are found. Bison, sambar, bucking deer and a variety of snakes are the other inhabitants of the park. Malathan, located at Likhavali in Arunachal Pradesh, has a 7 to 8 centuries old temple site in ruins. Temple ruins and sculptures here testify the visit of Lord Krishna, who stopped over along with his wife Rukmani to grace the hospitality of Malni, a form of goddess Parvati, Lord Shiva's consort. A series of excavations have unearthed a decorated basement of a temple, icon of deities, animal motifs and floral designs, carved columns and panels reminding of an unknown past. Bishmak Nagar, place dating back to 17th century AD and located in Lower Dibang Valley district, is famous for the ruins of a hill fort that belonged to King Bishmak, who was the father of Lord Krishna's wife Rukmani. Parshuram Kund is a sacred place for Hindus. According to the ancient Indian mythology, Parshuram, a great sage of ancient India, had washed his sin of matricide in the bank of the river Lohit, which later came to be known as Parshuram Kund. Every year on Makar Sankranti during the month of January, thousands of pilgrims converge here to take a dip in the water. World War II cemetery is a recent discovery, with about 1,000 graves of Allied soldiers, believed to be mostly of Chinese, Kachins, Indians, British and American soldiers who died in the Second World War, is located at Stillwell Road in the Jairampur Nampong Road of Changlang District. It has attracted media persons, historians and archaeologists from different parts of the world. The Research and Tourism Department are taking steps for preservation and development of this monument. Zero Valley, located at 1500 meters above sea level, is a beautiful hill station as well as one of the oldest towns of the state. It won't be wrong to call it the Switzerland of Arunachal. Mainly inhabited by the Apatani tribe, this valley is rich in biological diversity. Both subtropical and alpine forests are found here, along with various types of flora and fauna. The town wears a festive look during festivals celebrated by the Apatani people. It looks beautiful in every season. Machuka is a small town located in a picturesque valley near the Indo-Tibet border. During winters, one can get great views of the snow-clad mountains and snowfall. Other attraction is Machuka Lake, the natural lake situated at high altitude with scenic surroundings. One of the oldest Buddhist monasteries of Arunachal Pradesh, named Samtam Nyongsa of the Mahayana sect, is situated here, atop a hill overlooking the valley. A major part of Arunachal Pradesh is covered with lush green evergreen forests. Apart from thick forest cover, 5 rivers, namely Kameng, Subansri, Lohit, Siang and Tira, flows through the hills of Arunachal, thereby offering great opportunities for adventure sports like trekking, angling, boating and rafting. In fact, the state is much sought after for adventure tourism that is quite frequently organized in its upper reaches. The culture of Arunachal Pradesh is truly varied in the sense that the state has 26 major tribes, including sub-tribes. Every tribe has its own unique set of traditions and customs. The major tribes of Arunachal are Adi, Galo, Akka, Apatani, Nishi, Tagins, Mompa, Khamti, etc. The sun and the moon are the presiding deities of the major tribes who follow the Doni Polo religion. The West Kameng and Tawang districts are mainly inhabited by the Tibetan-influenced Monpa and Sedukpen tribe. In Lohit district, it is the Khamti and the Singpho tribe. All these 4 major tribes are followers of 2 different sects of Buddhism, Mahayana and Hinayana. The other tribes are basically followers of ancient beliefs with nature worship and animal sacrifice. Some people have adopted Christianity, but in spite of their newfound joy, they are proud of their ethnicity and they respect their rich tradition and culture. Arunachal is home to over 600 species of orchids that bloom almost every year. Out of 1,150 species that grow in India, this is why Arunachal is known as India's orchid paradise. The exquisite orchids that bloom in an assortment of colors and forms is a wonderful sight to behold. A majority of these are rare, endangered, and ornamental. Tourists visiting Arunachal Pradesh are always eager to visit the natural habitat of orchids. Usually, trekkers with an eye for detail always happen to stumble upon varieties of orchids while passing through the jungles of Arunachal. The Orchid Research Center, which was set up by the state government at Tipi, is the center of tourist attraction. Similarly, the Sesa Orchid Sanctuary in West Kaming District is a wonderful location that has trekking routes within the sanctuary for the enjoyment of visitors who love orchids. Visitors are advised not to take pictures in border area without permission and never bring anyone without inner line permit. They are also advised not to do anything unhealthy that may prove detrimental to this beautiful and peaceful state.
And now experience the breathtaking beauty of Arunachal Pradesh through this soulful song, Arunachal Downlit Mountains by Don Cam.
Reporting live from the downlit mountains, all fresh from the leaves to the fountains. Beauty everywhere you see from your naked eyes. That's what the people call it, untouched paradise. At first glance, you just can't believe yourself. But seeing is believing, come see it for yourself. AP is the place to be. Put your hands in the air for
And with this, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Join us again next week, same day, same time, for more inspiring stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye and take care.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.